We've been running this banter since way back in school, where the dorm room debates turn the cool into rules. Talking loud about the world like we're changing the game, but it's just us two, yeah, two sides of the same. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the will to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. When the combo's done and the bottle runs dry, we'll toast to the clash, to the lows and the highs. Two voices, one friendship, no need to compare. So come as you are and pull up a chair.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, Married at First Sight, Season 19, Austin, Texas. Recap of episodes 8 and 9. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
Anything surprise you in this next batch of shows, of episodes that came up, real quick, before we dive into to Derek and Megan?
There's a couple things that surprised me that one in particular that I'm not used to seeing in any of the other Married at First Sights, but it's an interesting group of episodes. These couples, it's just very different, man. I think it's because a lot of them are older. Right. I expected some of the things, but I've been impressed with just the conversations that they've had. So yeah, we'll see.
You thought it was going to be different.
I did. Let
me explain something.
I thought older people had it all figured out.
Not at all. It's actually 20-year-olds that have it all figured out. But you know, that's when you thought you knew everything. Think about this. Everybody returns to who they were in high school, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's kind of what happens. So they just become older at doing what they've done before. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's all there is to it. All right, let's get to it. Derek and Megan kicking this one off because that's where we left off at the last episode.
Yeah.
What? We're not surprised that she still got a sour face after this, but anything surprise you with this interaction between these two? Like the simple thing that actually de-escalated this entire situation?
Well, she's still pissed about the conversation they had about kids and Derek's conversation with his friend Scott. But I like how Derek handled this because I think Megan tends to go off the rails a little bit more than she probably should, which probably she gets that from my mom, I'm sure. Yeah. So Derek's calm demeanor. So he apologizes and he asks, hey, what can I do more of to make her feel more safe? Because she feels like when she's caught off guard like that, she's not in a safe space. And she said, be more vulnerable. And he was like, okay, well, what does that look like? She goes, just keep doing stuff like this. He was holding her hand. So yeah. Whenever he touches her and holds her, I think that helps her walls come down a little bit. But she goes off the handle really quickly.
He's been breaking down those walls, all right. Something to be says, make it as a 13-year-old girl in a 38-year-old body. Exactly. But, okay, we got to be fair in this one, okay? Because I have given Megan hell through the first 6 episodes, and then episode 7, it was Derek's fault.
Yeah.
Why did you make it sound like, oh, boy's idea? It was his question whether you really wanted kids. When it was yours, you're the one that's unsure. You said it wrong. So this time, the apology worked. Touching her hand, which he already knows that's how it works, so he already knew what to do. He's just like, all right, I let her boil a little bit. This is good for TV. Touch. It's time. Well, they get to go see Mega's parents, you know, the dad that we never got to see, and old Touchy Kathy over there.
Yeah. I thought this was nice because her family seems to really welcome Derek into it, right? And I think Kathy actually really likes Derek, and she's probably surprised how much she actually likes him. But, you know, they have some really great conversation. They talk about having kids and what it's like after you have the second one. And Derek said 3 is a good number. And Megan's brother-in-law, I love this because I don't have kids, but he said, you'll know when you're done because you can have a plan to have 3. But sometimes that first one comes out. You're like, nope, not doing this again.
Never again.
Never again.
Loser. Or like me, we go, you know what? This one's too good. No, the next one's not going to be as good. We're good.
This was perfect. We don't need to outdo this. Let's just keep this the way it is.
Do not try to outkick, punch your coverage. That's always, that always ends bad. A little Sunday football reference there, right?
Yeah.
it's interesting the way, because it seems like everything, even when Kathy starts to grill, like, what are the things you like about Megan? Derek makes up a good story. And because he's over there like, well, I like, how do I not say sex? How do I not say the raw? How can I? She's pretty.
Her head game is phenomenal.
Yeah, he can't say that. So he does a good job of actually doing this. And it's interesting because we just had the conversation about safety and Megan feeling safe. But she actually says she likes how safe Derek makes her feel.
Right.
That's not what she said earlier.
Yeah, yeah, because apparently he doesn't make her feel safe, but whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, something she can say in front of her family to make it seem like everything is good, because she knows that if this goes bad, her mom is going to say, I told you so.
Yeah,
I told you not to do this. So she doesn't really want that. Now, what's interesting is that Megan's concern when it comes to having kids is, and this goes back to the we are pregnant conversation, is Derek is not the one that has to give birth. And she's worried about all the pain, the actions of giving birth, of what changes in her body.
Since when has
the man given birth? Jeez. Just saying, that's why it's not we are pregnant.
Yes, it is, because you have to deal with her attitude the entire time. And think of Megan now, before anything. This is her just being her. Imagine when she gets pregnant.
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious to see what kind of person she's going to be when, yeah, when she's pregnant.
His Mrs. Stewart says, Megan's mom is full of shite. She knows her daughter's off the rails, but wants to talk grandkids. Just know whose side she's on when it comes to the custody battle.
Mm.
Great point. Because at the same time, you got to understand, like Sly A says, maybe that mom needs a wrestling date too, since she seems to like to touch and hit so hard. That was, it's, didn't really notice it. And of course, as they go back and show you, like, holy crap. Yeah, she really, Kathy is really handsy.
Yeah, she is. She is. But she likes her some Derek.
She does. Now she does. Because she realized he can handle Megan for a little while. Assumption B says, loved her dad. He's a very down-to-earth man for someone of his success. Yes, their place was nice. It, you know, that's a successful man. And apparently his deal with the devil included Kathy. And that's why he has all the success.
Well, that's why he worked so hard. It gave him time to not be at home.
Yeah. You know how he got all this?
Yeah.
Easy. I stayed away.
Worked a lot.
Oh, my God. Anything when they went to the winery, the vineyard?
So that's where Derek tells her that he has strong feelings for her, and he's excited to keep this going. He doesn't say, I love you, but he said he has strong feelings. And Megan is feeling awkward because she's starting to have these feelings that she hasn't felt in a long time. So it seems like her wall is coming down to where she's more open to being in love with Derek.
You notice this. Okay, so even when they go to the parents' house. Okay, when they start, we see that they're upset. They go to the parents' house, it's good. After the parents' house, they're good. They go to the winery, it's good. And it almost derailed immediately because Megan asked if he ever found out where her second tattoo is.
Yeah.
And yeah, he almost blew it.
I thought that was a weird question because I'm sure he's seen it.
That's what I'm saying. What kind of question is that? She's the one that doesn't ever want to talk about the SEX during the time that the camera crew is there, even though she's already told us they do it all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know.
When they got the wedding, the one-month anniversary gift, because this is the one-month anniversary for everybody, and we'll go through all of their stuff, they got the video of their wedding.
Yeah.
And I thought they looked like such a cute, happy couple, her sitting in his lap, watching the videos. Wasn't this the moment that they envisioned?
It was a good moment for them. You know, at least we're not seeing them fight. and Megan even lets an I love you slip out. It was a nice bonding moment for them. But again, I've always had concerns about their relationship because it seems like it ebbs and flows way too much.
Bodine says, I did like Megan breaking down, looking at the wedding video and realizing she really does love him. That was kind of sweet.
Yeah.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because she breaks down, she tells him, I love you. And he's like,
I'm going to get some drink. Be right back.
And then she even tries to, you know, coax him along. How could you not love me after watching that?
Yeah.
And he said, because I've dealt with you through this.
That's why.
It really was, like Sly says, it was really emotional for Meg when she watched the wedding video. It still looked awkward when she went up there at the altar and was, you know, but at the same time, I thought it was a nice moment. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good.
Next up, we had Jalen and Josh.
Mm-hmm.
I know you like this date because you've been there.
We've been there.
Oh, so, well, now you want to say we.
We have gone skydiving together. I think 2022. So I love this because I've been to that skydiving facility in San Marcos 3 times now. Mm-hmm. And I think it's awesome. Now, I like the fact that Josh is like me. Every couple of years, he goes and jumps out of a plane. But he's constantly trying to push Jalen to do things out of her comfort zone. And I haven't seen him. I've only seen him do something that she likes, which is spin class. But I haven't seen anything else that he's done that's something that's in that she's very passionate about or likes.
You know, because Lola D says, Josh is pushing her out of her comfort zone again. Yeah, because think about it. She is at the same time, she's not too happy about going, but she's willing to do it, right? And then Josh is like, all right, till next time. And she's like, never.
Yeah.
She did it. We've seen this before, and this is going to come back, right? It's like Sly says, why so much pressure, right? Because Elson asks, is Josh trying to claim the insurance policy? Not yet. He hasn't paid for it yet. It's interesting because as they're celebrating a 1 month anniversary, they get the photo album, they get the vows, and she's like, well, you know what? Here's what would be a cute project. Because I wrote this when I didn't know who I was writing it to. I would like to let us write new vows to each other. Now that we do know each other, now that we've been so close and so intimate, and we know, and I've gotten this bigger ring, let's write vows that express our real feelings toward each other. And Josh said, you know what? You went in the jungle twice for me. You jumped out of a perfectly good plane for me. Of course I will do it. I'm kidding. He did.
Wrong. Yeah. Wrong. Yeah, I mean,
what happened here?
So let's just say he had writer's block because he could not come up with some things to write. He said that the original vows he did before he knew her took him 4 weeks to put together. And so on the spot, he just couldn't really think of it. And I'm listening to him. I'm like, why are you making a big deal out of this? Mm-hmm. You know, and then even Jalen is trying to tell him, hey, you can just say, hey, I think you're great. Right. And that's it. I'd be fine with that. So she's even given him, you know, a little alley-oop there. All he had to do was just dunk.
She broke it down Dr. Seuss style. Red fish, blue fish, one fish, two fish. Say that. I'll be happy.
Yeah.
This is wild, you know, because I thought that was a little too much for her, right?
Yeah.
And High Vibe says it's a thin line between pushing someone out of their comfort zone and being selfish. After seeing this scene, and you brought it up first, and I got to give you credit on this because you brought it up when they went into the jungle twice. Don't do a victory lap. Jesus Christ, it's just a simple compliment. Are you okay over there?
I don't get them from you often, so I'm just like, thank you,
that's
sir.
Because you don't deserve them often. But whenever you do, I will give them to you. But you pointed out when they went to the jungle twice, because I really didn't click to me. They went on the river, then they went through the jungle.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, now the skydiving, it's the one thing she wanted, and he's being selfish in this moment.
Yeah. Do you think that, and we talk about this all the time, do you think it's the financial power dynamic? This is starting to show its ugly head?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's showing that, I think someone mentioned it earlier, he is selfish, right?
Yeah.
Because he wants to do everything that he wants to do. He's controlling. These words are coming, and you start to see the veil coming off of him. And it gets worse as we get through episodes 8 and 9. It gets worse because you start to see who this guy is and why you wouldn't want him dating your sister or your good friend.
Right.
Like Elson said, Josh called it silly the one time she asked him to do something.
Yeah. And it's something simple. Mm-hmm. It's like you could just be very basic. You're beautiful. The sex is amazing. You're easy to talk to. I love you. Done. Mm-hmm.
Easy. Because Lola D says, I don't know if it was writer's block. I think writing is probably just hard for him. It's not like he can't write.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way you fill in the blank. And then she even said, okay, just tell me. And it's not like he didn't write something. He wrote something.
Yeah.
And she's like, just read it to me. And he wouldn't even do that.
Right.
That's crazy. And everybody's saying that ChatGPT wrote his original vows, though. So I see that quite a bit popping up in here.
Great. He could have got to ChatGPT on his phone and did the exact same thing.
Ooh, Lucy B, you took me back with that one. Says, Josh gives me sleeping with the enemy vibes now.
Mm.
That was a wild movie. Remember that kitchen scene?
I do.
There was a little kid in the in the theater because he's like, Mommy, what is he doing to her? It's time for them to leave that theater.
Yeah.
You know, later on they're in bed and Josh says he's feeling some tension.
Yeah, you think?
Way to read the room. Way better than Will. Will wouldn't have even noticed. Anything came out of this?
I mean, he apologizes for shutting down. But it still just doesn't justify it. I think that was such a basic thing she asked him to do, and he couldn't do it. And his whole, he doesn't feel like being put on the spot. I'm like, well, okay, Josh, you're on a reality show. There's cameras all around you, and there's microphones tied to you. Yes. You're on the spot.
Yes.
You signed up for this.
I just wish Jalen would have said, you just described what I felt like on the river and going through the jungle and jumping out of a plane.
Yeah.
But I did it. Even though Ayel is saying, I don't blame Josh for not wanting to be put on the spot to read his feelings. He might not be that kind of guy. What? He might be an athlete, can't read?
Yeah, and don't go on a reality show.
Did he read the contract? Yeah. He knows how to say post-nuptial agreement. He knows how to do more than just fix a roof. Come on, man, stop it. He knows how to do it. Man. Okay. Your favorite couple up next, Brittany and Will.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew that Brittany was a wrestling fan? I give her cool points for that, just off the rip.
Yeah. Yeah. And to take a class with Mark Henry, who I met Mark Henry before. He's a cool dude. This is when I was a bartender, so like I served him and we just all were shooting the shit. Mark Henry is a cool dude. But I had no idea that she was a big wrestling fan. And it looked like a fun date.
Yeah, it really did. But here's the problem I have. And, you know, whenever there's some sort of physical activity, I usually have some critique of it because it's on TV. Why not? But this was actually caught. Everything they did, the wrestling moves, cool. They're playing around. I have an issue with how Will entered the ring. Why did he crawl through the bottom rope? Even Brittany came over the second rope. But no, he came crawling through the bottom rope like, yo, man up. I'm not saying go over the top rope. You can't. You're not that tall. But you can at least. He almost tripped himself going over the first rope.
But sometimes the wrestlers even go to the bottom rope.
Not only when they roll in the ring.
When they're trying to jump in and like save somebody that's getting beat up. And you know what I mean? It's dramatic.
No, that's under the first one. He went over the first one.
Oh, okay.
like it was the miniature wrestling. Yeah, see, I wasn't the only one. I was afraid I was the only one that noticed this. Mr. Blue says that crawl was hilarious. Oh my God, that was wild. But I thought everything else was good. I did like seeing them have fun because I'm like, okay, this is what they need. This is a great fun date, especially since it's something that she likes. And Josh, take note, doing something mm-hmm. that she likes. Even Will is doing this. You can do the same. I just thought it was kind of weird. And I would have felt weird getting marriage advice from Mark Henry.
Hey, he's just saying, hey, it takes work just like wrestling does. And but he did let him know, y'all going to have some pretty babies. I'm like, Mark, I don't think you understand. They're not going to have any pretty babies at all. They're not going to have any babies.
If Edmund was there, he'd have been like, yes. Yeah. And there's nothing that Mark said that was wrong.
Right.
The advice he gave was great. The y'all gonna have some pretty babies. I mean, they're both attractive people, right? Yeah. And so you would think that. So I get what he was saying. It was just kind of strange hearing it from Mark Henry, the world's strongest man.
Sounds creepy. Y'all gonna have some pretty babies.
Some pretty babies. Brittany says things are going good. They're talking after you know, the wrestling thing, and it's cool, and she hopes they can continue to progress, and there's mm-hmm. no doubt for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then Will spoke,
and then she hopes he doesn't either moment.
yeah
At this point, all I can do is just laugh when Will talks. He said things are good right now, but that could change. Could you imagine having that check in with your partner? Hey, how things going? Hey, right now it's good, but this could change.
Yeah,
this could go left real quick.
The bad thing is you're watching it. You're like, yo, this is what we wanted from them from the beginning. This is good. Yeah. We're finally getting. Damn it, Will.
Yeah. And she said with that response, I don't know if you feel that I'm your person. And she said that he doesn't feel the things that she feels. And I really think Will is just more logical with everything. Well, mm-hmm. let me back up. I don't think Will wants to marry Brittany, period. But
they're already married.
He's going to stay married with her. Decision day, that's 100% no. But I think Will is just more logical about everything and a lot less of the feels. And I think that someone needs to teach him how to, he's lacking a type of social skill. I can't put my finger on it, but he does not know how to read the woman that he's sleeping with. He just know how to pay attention and realize what he's saying comes across really bad.
Or like Lola D says, Will has that a-hole gene making Brittany insecure on purpose. I think he thinks what he says is funny and Brittany needs to stop falling for it.
Mm-hmm.
You've always said, you say this all the time, when we talk offline, when we talk online, you say, Will is smart.
Yeah.
Will knows what he's doing. Why does it sound like you're trying to give him a pass?
I'm not giving him a pass.
Okay.
No, I'm not giving him a pass. I just think he's not good at being able to read the social cues. He could be smart all day long and still suck at social skills.
Yeah.
That's possible.
Gina, you will love this. Gina says, Terrell has been right from the beginning. Will is just not into her. Well, actually, he's been into her, so.
Gina, you're one of my favorite members. I just want you to know that.
I'm just saying. He has. D. Michelle says, Will is the worst personality type for this show. Like, sir, you are married. Act like it. His compliments are pink-laced in criticism. Yes.
Yeah.
High Vibe is there with you saying that Will lacks empathy and compassion. And common courtesy.
Mm-hmm.
That's all there is to it, right? They get to, again, another part of the 1 year anniversary. Everybody gets their photo albums, and Brittany's just so hopeful. It's mm-hmm. everything's good. And Brittany even asks, how did you think you would feel on your 1 month anniversary? Because it's here now, but how did you think when you were waiting at the altar and you were excited for me to walk down? How'd you think you'd feel 1 month in?
And Will's like, well, the most important thing is, you know, from them being strangers to where we are now. That's what's most important, which to me doesn't answer her question.
No.
At all. She's like, I know you more than I did when I first saw you at the altar. So there's that.
Mm-hmm. Yo, it is bad. He is. They get to see the experts, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But Belinda and Chad, on the other hand, this is actually another sad case when you think about it.
Yeah.
Because Chad does something nice for Belinda, and she can't seem to comprehend why.
Right.
What happened?
Well, he brings her some roses, and she's asked, well, what are these for? And it's well, one month anniversary. But here's what's sad about this. You could tell Belinda has not been in a relationship with a guy like Chad who does a lot of nice things for her.
Mm-hmm.
She's just not used to that. Similar to like when I'm dating people and the only places that guys have ever taken them to eat is like Cracker Barrel and Applebee's. I'm like, wow, no one's taking you anywhere nice? Well, we're not going to work out. But still, I just find
well,
it
I odd. Won't either, damn it.
Yeah, yeah. So I just find it odd that she's not been with anybody. And it's sad. It's not odd. It's just it's sad that she's not been with anybody that shows her how much they love her with little gestures like Chad is doing. He's kind of love bombing a little bit, but he's at least showing her how he feels about
it. Yeah, which is great. And you're right. It's and I'm glad to see so much compassion coming. And of course, a little, you know, jabs here and there about, but Belinda hasn't had this and she doesn't know how to react to it.
Right.
And this, we saw this happen on Love is Blind UK. Because people who are not accustomed to this is one thing I'm afraid of. I think Belinda's going to sabotage this entire marriage because she's just not accustomed to it, to somebody being nice. Remember, her daughter has never seen her have love and affection at all.
Right, right.
Which is, so, all right, we'll see. Your favorite person, who I told you about, Rhonda.
Mm-hmm.
Decided to do something for Pat and watching a space launch on their 1 month anniversary.
Right.
This is nice, right? She's even pretending to be interested.
Yes, because this is something that's not about her. This is about Pat.
Right.
And so I was like, good for you, Rhonda, that you're actually trying to get into his deal, even though you're not interested in this at all. And it's totally okay. But for her to hear how he got into you know, wanted to learn about space, and that he talks about the first time that he saw, I think it was one of the things landing back into Earth, that he actually was there and saw it live when he was six, I believe. So yeah. I thought this was nice. This is not about Rhonda. This is just about Pat. Now, did you notice when Pat tells his stories, it's pretty concise.
No, let's not even forget how Pat went on and on and on and round around the mulberry bush. I think he's learned to kind of, you know, make them a little more concise. Well, because
it's early in the morning. Time. It's early in the morning for a launch, so maybe he's not chatty Cathy.
Well, no, this is something he knows.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Right.
She likes to tweet, says, that was so adorable watching the space launch and explaining everything. Such a great activity to do, and she could not appreciate it with her fake interest. So sick of her. At least she faked some interest and didn't go, oh, who cares?
You know,
because I wouldn't put that past her either. And this is something he's passionate about. Unfortunately, the way he's like, I can't wait to watch more with her. That was the first and the last, sir. The first and the last.
Yeah, never done that again. Cross this off the bucket list. Done.
Lady J says that's the only nice thing she's done for Patrick. Yes, because it doesn't get that good after, right?
Yeah.
We do get to see that they are actually hosting everyone for this 1 month anniversary, all the couples for this 1 month anniversary get together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's at Rhonda's house, you know, the place that Pat visits, but still hasn't gotten the key yet.
Right.
And hasn't made it out the guest room. Rhonda asks where everyone is. And, you know, this is never going to be good when somebody does this at a couples get together, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because where's everybody at right now in their relationship? So you got Josh said that he and Jalen have been electric. Chad said within the first week of living together that he said that he loved Belinda. And Will said, this is funny, Will messes it up. Will said he definitely hasn't said the L word yet. Like, just want to be clear. I have definitely not said the L word. And then he said that people may say the L word and it could be manipulative, which I'm thinking, okay, who hurt you?
Yeah.
And then he says he wants to make sure that, you know, he knows for sure that he loves her before he says it. Like when she's bald on chemo and you're cussing me out, you know, because I'm trying to help you. Like, I still love you during that. I'm like, why did we go there?
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing. That, and like everyone else's eyes, it's like, what the hell is Will talking about?
You know, I did like Megan's response when he goes, I definitely haven't said it. And she actually laughed out. She did what everybody else was thinking.
Yeah.
She laughed out loud to let him know, like, dude, WTF, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, everybody else is just going crazy.
Yeah.
As he's saying this nonsense. Will just doesn't know how to, well, no, he does. I'm not even going to give him that pass. Rhonda then asked Derek and Megan, you know, hey, so what's going on with you guys? How do you, how are you feeling? And Megan goes, you got this, and just starts drinking.
let's Derek own it. And Derek said historically it takes him some time to say that he loves someone, but he feels that he's on the path to saying that at some point to Megan. Mm-hmm. And then they said, Megan, what about you? She says, same. Done.
Yeah, because she was like, look, you take that. I like what she did there, because she's like, I'm not going to let you have me out here like the jackass.
Yeah.
And I like the way she did that without turning and going, would you like to answer this? And show everybody there's a problem. She handled it the way that she should have. She started drinking. And of course, Derek just very timidly like, well... Oh, interesting though, that after we see all of that, only thing we see, it's back to the Pat, well, the Rhonda show starring, in a support role, Pat, and it made me really question, why is everything a test with Rhonda? Jesus, it is so exhausting.
Yeah. I mean, so this is what's really interesting to me is, when you're in the dating phase and you're meeting somebody and they have different things they're passionate about. So like, I'm not a big music festival person. I don't care about any of that stuff. And if I meet somebody that like all they talk about is music, I'm like, well, we're not going to work because I'm not into this. But I think it's okay to have your separate passions that you both don't have to match. So she's trying to bring him into her world of this block party that they had outside her house. And she's talking about how this is her happy place, being around all this music. And she starts talking about how much music means to her. Then she asks him, well, what have you learned about me from this event? And I'm like, Jesus Christ. God, you
would not
so
even
annoying.
Answer that question.
Yeah. And so he's like, well, look, I can tell that this is your environment. It means a lot to you. And, you know, you're really engaging with the people. And she goes, yeah, but what does that tell you about my personality? I'm like, Jesus. It's just so annoying. I feel bad for Pat. Yeah, I feel bad for Pat.
Yo, I told y'all she was a problem. The fact that she said, what does it tell you about me? What about me? What about me?
Yeah.
Tell me. Like Materialistic said, please stop the madness and get this woman off our screens. Sorry.
Yeah.
She's going to be here for a while. She makes for great TV. Something B says Rhonda's a walking standardized test where you have to do calculations and do critical thinking before you respond.
Yeah. Well, did you catch the, and I don't know the name of the song, but the person performed and she's just talking about how much she loves this song and starts crying and getting emotional. Like, so this is my thing. People that are that into music, that you get that emotional over song, I just find it odd. I mean, it's whatever. I just don't feel, there's not any song that's going to come on that's going to be like, oh my God, I remember this when I was 12 and I'm going to start crying. There's no song that's going to make me do that. But the fact that she's feeling that and she's trying to share it with him, great. And then Pat, and this is true for me, goes, you know, the song hit different for me. What I got out of this song was this. And boom, that just sets her off.
Now, while you and I may be like, Rhonda, that's too much. His Mrs. Stewart says, but Rondo wasn't wrong. Pat opens his mouth and it's I. That can be exhausting too. Only if you're an egomaniac. Mm-hmm. Because a conversation usually involves us talking about our experiences. They right. don't have shared experiences. So as she's sharing all her shit, he should be at least able to share a little bit of his shit.
Just a little bit. Just a scotch.
Just a little bit. But no, she wants the cop an attitude, turn into Megan, old ass Megan at that, because, you know, because... You thought the age was going to make it better? No.
No, it doesn't.
High Vibes, High Vibes says, I want Pat to go off one good time so he can free himself of this woman. Yes, that would be so good. She likes to tweet, says, Rhonda needs Ayanna to fix her life immediately. Thank you, Elsit. He is looking to connect. When he does that.
Yes.
Every time he's done that has not been to be about himself. It's been about trying to relate, let you know we do have some sort of shared experiences, right. something.
Right.
And actually, Aubrey says this right. Rhonda doesn't know how to converse. She's into monologues. Yeah, she thinks she's a late night TV host.
Well, absolutely. This is what happens when you've been single for 20 something years.
True. And the kids stop talking to you, so you just keep talking? Is that what it is?
I guess
you know, you're absolutely right. That would do it. Now we got to get to the freak kits and the experts' visits, but first, a word from our sponsors.
All right, listen. If your kitchen tools are older than your favorite pair of sweatpants, it's time for an intervention. Go to Cellar and Spice. They've got cookware, kitchen essentials, and wine gadgets, basically everything you need to look like you know what you're doing in the kitchen, even if you're just reheating last night's DoorDash. And the wine accessories are top tier, because if the food doesn't slap, the wine better. So head over to cellarandspice.com for some of their great deals that are easy on your wallet. Save that money on the fancy cheese you're going to pretend you always buy.
Who writes these things?
Well, hey, I get it, and I totally understand, because I like having cookware that makes it look like I know what I'm doing, even though I am not that good of a chef. I can cook some stuff, but I am not that great. But it's nice to have some of those upgrades, and you can't break out really nice upscale cheese on some bullshit plateware, because everybody's going to say, this is not what you normally do, is it?
You know, a couple of months ago, my wife and I got some new pots and pans. And yeah, you're right. I did get a little excited about that. I did get a little excited. You're right.
Yeah.
Hey, quick shout out to everybody who's here with us, whether you are here now watching this as part of Live Crew or later watching this part of Replay Gang. Do us a favor. Hit that like button, and if you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications.
And if you really want to support the channel, join the regulars by becoming a member. It's less than $3 a month. You'll get custom emojis, early access to Random Thoughts and RGRT Pod reaction videos, and more, including, for those that missed it, story time with Terrell.
Which, by the way, really good story last time. MWA says, if you're not a regular, you missed a great Terrell story time. And Nubia Mahogany said, Terrell turning lemons into lemonade.
Try my best.
Yeah, hey, you got to. You got to. To all our podcast fam listening on your favorite app, thank you as well. Leave us a 5-star rating and a quick review. It really does help, right? Like this one here. From Easley, who says, number one in my book, the two funniest guys on YouTube, their reviews of Married at First Sight are priceless. I'll agree with the second line. I'm not sure about the first one. But I appreciate it.
Yes, definitely appreciate it.
I know a lot of funny people on YouTube, so I won't ever take that one. The intimacy kits. Dr. Pia sends them to all the couples. And did you notice that Megan still has a problem whenever Derek brings up anything sexual when the cameras are around?
Which is so odd, because she has said on camera that we've been having a lot of sex and most of it unprotected. Okay. Right. And Derek's not said anything bad, so he's just going through the toys. And she's like, hey, don't pull that out. And he pulls it. Oh, I think it's a vibrator. She's like, I told you don't pull that out. Come on now. Megan, grow up.
Well, he should have gone. He's like, isn't this like yours? That would have probably set her off, though. Because even when, remember when they were on the patio and the monkey was screaming in the background, he goes, I can make that sound later.
Yeah. I was wondering if he was going to tell her, wow, have you ever had a black one before?
They're usually not this small. Well, Will and Brittany, were you surprised to hear Brittany say that you're going to have to show me because I ain't done none of it?
No, I'm not surprised at all. Brittany doesn't seem like she's well-versed in the sex toy game, but apparently Will is a expert, highly knowledgeable,
apparently.
Has tried quite a few things.
As he's picking out everything, she's like, wait, are those the things you've tried? Yeah.
Yeah. See, now after watching him with these toys, I'm getting that 50 Shades of Grey vibe with Will. Like he has a little sex dungeon somewhere.
What was that couple in San Diego who had the swing?
Yeah.
And then, of course, Belinda was like, hey, look, you know, I feel like everybody goes through a toy phase like they go through a hoe phase. So, yeah, I'm past that.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's the case. There's a reason she's saying that. Maybe she had some bad experiences during her toy phase. But Chad is bad about it. He wants to have some fun with those toys.
He's like, wait, so what you trying to say?
Yeah.
We got these for nothing?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, shout out to JC Walker. Says, y'all got me skipping Real Housewives of Potomac tonight. You know, my wife is watching that. Said they went to Nevis, actually. Yeah, and traveling in the camouflage. You know not to do that, right? Don't ever do that. Look, Belinda and Chad, they go to a beer garden, which is not Chad's thing. He's a whiskey guy.
Yeah.
He's not a beer guy. But I like that. Okay, let's go. Let's try it. Because this is something that Belinda does all the time.
Again, right.
Josh, take note. Just saying. They're talking about growing up. And Belinda, you know, okay, so they made it seem like small town, big city.
Yeah.
But Robstown, yeah, small town. Baton Rouge, I wouldn't say big city, but maybe just, you know, compared to Robstown. Because Belinda says her graduating class was 200 to 250.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to do Pat right here. Because mine, I was in a graduating class of 120. Only 118 walked.
Yeah, mine was 517 that walked.
Dang. Jeez. How long was that ceremony?
It was long. And, you know, based on my last name, I get done early. So I got to sit.
Terrell Allen.
Yeah.
Oh, first. Okay.
I watch everybody else go.
Anything that you got from their conversation there besides just it seeming like a good, fun time?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'd had a really good date. And again, you're 100% spot on that Chad is trying to do some things that Belinda's into, and she's done some things that he's into. And I think that's what is making them work so well. But I think this was a really great date.
I thought so, too. I really thought so, too. On the other hand, her daughter, Jalen, and her husband, Josh, we saw this at the end of episode 8, right? Because this is we're in episode 9 now. By the end of episode 8, we had the secret nanny cam footage of them coming in when the camera crew wasn't scheduled to be there. And they were having a little argument about Josh, who had told Jalen he had unfollowed his ex, and come to find out in this whole discussion they're having, as she's just listening to the conversation, he hadn't.
Right.
This is an issue.
Huge issue, because what blows my mind is when they met with Dr. Pia, and this came up about social media.
The first time, right?
Right, the first time. Mm-hmm. Jalen didn't ask him to stop following his ex.
Right.
He volunteered that he was going to do that. Oh, no, I can totally end that now. She just said, hey, I don't talk to any of my exes. I don't follow any of them. And he was like, dead set, he announced it. And then for him to have lied.
Right.
It just blows my mind. I'm like, dude, how are you drop the bag like that?
Yeah, that made no sense. Like, if you throw yourself out there like that, and because she didn't pressure him, his thing is, that's why he didn't unfollow, because he had no intention of doing it, right? Well,
right.
The experts show up, Dr. Pia and Pastor Cal, and like J-Roll says, Josh is tripping. Why would you lie about something like that? But here's the other part. Materialistic says, why is your first instinct under pressure to lie?
Right.
Because that's what he said. I panicked.
Why?
I lied. Yes.
It's your wife. Why? Just like, oh, shoot, I forgot. I hadn't unfollowed her yet. I meant to. My bad.
So this is worse, right? The fact that he was, okay, the fact that he lied about it, he said he was going to do it, then didn't do it. And then right. with the experts, that's one thing. The experts are there, and he goes, oh, well, I panicked, and that's why I lied. Which is the bigger issue, his excuse or the actual act?
His excuse to me.
That's what I thought. Because he's trying to justify it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I panicked. Why?
You know, the interesting thing is that they're asked, Dr. Pia then asked Jalen, can she forgive Josh?
Yeah.
And she says yes, but then Dr. Pia and Pastor Cal are like, yeah, nah.
We don't believe that.
We don't believe you. Why?
Well, and I think it's Jalen's questioning, if he lies about something like this, mm-hmm. what else is he lying about? Now, ladies, that's how it works. When the guy lies to you once, once you catch him, now you're going to start questioning everything they've ever said.
Right.
Is that a lie? Does he really like steak? Or did he just say that? Does right. he really like this? That's the problem with this. And I think that's what's hard for her. I think she could possibly forgive him, but now her wheels are spinning, questioning yeah. everything else that he said.
Raven's girl Monica says he didn't mean it when he said no prenup either. Here's where the experts, especially Pastor Cal, or as you like to call him before, Pastor Troy, said that, okay, wait a minute. He's not the only liar in this relationship, because mm-hmm. you're not saying the things that you really feel, right? Like, mm-hmm. what is something you don't want to do? And then Jalen brings up the festivals, and he really asks her, is there something you want to do? She's like, no.
Yeah.
Especially not Burning Man.
Yeah. And he's like, tell him that. He's right here. Tell him.
Damn, materialistic. That bad? you know, this got a little touchy, and it gets a little more emotional a little later. But in this moment, Jalen says something to Josh, and I know you took the better notes on this, so I want you to say it, that kind of almost set the scales and ticked him off a little bit.
Yeah, so she brings up the whole festivals thing. And she said that at first he said that he's fine, that she doesn't want to go to those, which he did say that. He says it's not a deal breaker that you don't have to go with me to Burning Man. And now Josh is feeling a little slighted because she even says, I don't want to go camping. I don't want to do any of that at all. And so Josh said that the festivals and Burning Man is how he identifies himself. And what's crazy is Jalen doesn't have issues with Josh going.
Right.
She's not telling him you can no longer go to Burning Man because we're married. She just doesn't want to go. And I think they could all have different hobbies, but I mean, their Josh's comprehension abilities is a little lacking to yeah. me, because she didn't tell you to stop going. She says she doesn't want to go.
This is where I got completely... I got completely turned around, right? Because like YouTube channel member J-Ro says, he also told her it doesn't bother him if she didn't want to go. So he lied about that too.
Right.
And then like Sinan's fan says, yo, the whole convo about community had me scratching my head. Me too, because I didn't understand that. Even right. though YouTube channel member Lola D says, Josh took his introverted self to his first Burning Man, got his little self brainwashed that it was the only or best form of community he could get.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Could be. It could be. You know, just, and here's what's crazy is Josh said it doesn't feel good to hear her say maybe he should be with someone that wants to share that with him, because she did say that. Maybe you should be with someone else, which to me, the fact that Jalen said that, it's like she's going to say no on decision day. Because you don't go to a relationship and tell somebody, hey, well, maybe you should be with someone else. That's likes doing those things.
If he said she didn't want to go, because remember, remember, I told you when he said this the first time, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. When he said to her, well, once you go, you'll love it. She's already told you this is not what she does.
Yeah.
If that's not what she does, she's not going to. She'll do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you can't force her to love it. And that's the problem. I saw this red flag a long time ago when he said that crap. But then after the experts leave, I was so much more confused with this conversation.
Yeah.
Because like you said, she's not saying you can't go.
Right.
She even said, hey, if you need to dump me to go, because he's like, I want you. No, but you can still go. I'm just not going. So what was this whole thing about? I was so confused.
Yeah, he is something else because he tried to pull this analogy of telling Jalen that what if, you know, I told you that you can no longer teach spin class. And Jalen is thinking, WTF, that's my job. That's what right. I do to make money. It is not the same. That's not apples to apples. And again, she didn't tell him you can no longer go to Burning Man. But for him to be this hardcore about it, and to your point, saying that, hey, just try it. She doesn't want to. But you can still keep going. Let it go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... I really didn't understand this. And yeah, I think he's still using that... His upbringing is an excuse and a crutch. It's like somebody who says, well, I don't know how to be in a relationship because my daddy wasn't there. Shut up. You're lying.
They might not be lying. Maybe they just not processed it and got some therapy and figured out what they should do. I'm saying, you're lying.
So Nance fan says, what are they doing at Burning Man? Asking for a friend.
Yeah, that's a lot of wild drugs shit. And stuff. Yeah. It's wild stuff. So then Jalen gets frustrated and she like rolls her eyes. And did you catch this? Just like, don't you roll your eyes at me. Don't ever roll your eyes at me. I find that be very disrespectful. And I'm sitting there looking at Josh like, who is this dude? And again, it goes back to that financial power dynamic. Is he going to be that type of dude?
Yeah.
And to me, he's going to. If he did that on national TV, that's who he is.
Mm-hmm. It's, yeah. And it's not like she did something. I get the rolling your eyes could be disrespectful, but it's not like he wasn't even listening to her in that moment. And right. Here's the thing. It started before that. Because remember when he's like, can I at least finish? Can we have a conversation without you talking over me?
Right.
And then does the same thing to her.
Right.
That's when it started. And then he did the whole roll. That's why she rolled her eyes. Because she's like, you jackass. This was nuts. And if this is somebody you knew, you would probably say, Jalen, please exit stage left. Yeah. You don't want to be around that man.
Well, I'm proud of Jalen for standing her ground. She's like, look, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So deal with it. And then that's when Josh starts crying about giving up Burning Man. And it's just really effing hard. I'm like, moron, you don't have to give it up.
Yeah. You know, she didn't ask you to write a vow to Burning Man. I bet you could have done that, though.
I bet he probably could have did that in minutes.
Kendra says the mask slipped off. Jalen, get out. Yeah, exactly. And I would need to ask what this means. PAB, you know?
I have an idea. I don't know what PAB would mean.
Next, though, Rhonda and Pat. Just when you thought this thing couldn't get any stranger, especially from the whole festival in her backyard.
Yeah.
They're going to go now to San Antonio to visit her father's grave.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Rhonda's given her biography. Pat, pay attention, because there's a test.
Right.
What? Why?
Well, he's trying to drive. He doesn't know where he's going. And it's great. You can have all that conversation, but you can't expect him to be that dialed in. I'm driving. Right. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was a bit much. I think it's great that she's sharing all this stuff, but understand the dude is driving and he's trying to listen.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole thing was weird. And then when she's talking about her uncle and having a bunch of Playboys. And Pat says, yeah, my dad had big sex. Again, he's just trying to relate to her. But the fact that he said that, that pissed her off.
Here's the thing about it. Because I know some people say, well, he keeps bringing it back to him. It wasn't even about him. He says, yeah, well, that's common for men of that time period.
Right.
Playboys were a thing. And she's like, I'm trying to be vulnerable here, talking about my family. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I mean, that whole I mean, you know me. I'm not a go visit the cemetery person because I think when people die, they're gone. And I think people that are religious that still go to the cemetery, I'm like, well, I thought they're in heaven. They're not here in the ground. It's like, let it go. But
so you would have stepped all over the grave, even though she was like, don't step on the graves.
Yeah. But to me, like, that's personal. But you're going to bring Pat and have him sit down and go, we have anything you want to say? What? And so Pat's like, nice to meet you. And now she's like, you know what? I'm going to need some alone time.
Can you? What else was he supposed to say? Get up.
Yeah.
I would like to ask for your permission to marry your daughter, even though I already did.
Yeah, I'd like to ask you, you know I'm sleeping with your daughter, right? You know that.
Even though she's older than you were at this time, but what up, you know what I mean? What was he supposed to say?
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh my God. Lady J says, I don't want to hear shit else about Rhonda. A conversation is two people conversing back and forth. She's a lunatic. Yes, right. I've been telling y'all this.
Yeah.
Yo, I do like that back in the car, and she says something else, and Pat finally had it. He pulled that car over, skirt.
Yeah.
She's like, is there a problem? No, hold up. Let me just, I need to park for this.
Yeah, he was tired of her. Of her crap, because he had asked her another question, like, hey, how long's it been since your dad passed? And she's like, I already said that. And just gets busy. So he said, well, you're going to have to repeat some things sometimes, and he won't always get it the first try. So then he's like, you know what? Pull over. And I like how he had the conversation, because he used a lot of what he learned from Dr. Pia when they met with the experts before, letting her that, hey, when you say this, it makes me feel... Right. Like this. And he tells her, like, I feel like I'm constantly under observation. And, like, everything is a test. And
he's being scolded.
Yeah, and he's being scolded. I'm like, yeah, tell her.
Okay. Lola says Pat pulled that car over like, I've had enough. And then he backed down because he said all that. And I don't think he backed down. He just chose. Pat's not the yelling guy, right?
Yeah.
He's the freaky guy. Remember, he left his last wife because she wouldn't, because of the sex. Sex wasn't good enough. He's not the yelling guy. And that's the thing. So he's not going to yell at her, but at least he did tell her. However, it literally went in one ear, out the other, and out through that rolled up window. Because what Rhonda gave, would you even consider that an apology?
No. I wouldn't at all, because she said that... she apologized for making him feel like he was being scolded. Mm-hmm. And then she tries to turn it back on her. Well, I'm still trying to navigate how to go through this and be with someone else. So I appreciate you giving me some grace. When is she giving Pat grace?
Never.
Right.
Ever. But no, she wants him to be nice to her because, come on, stop it.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Then they have a follow-up conversation that we do see later, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they're sitting back in the apartment. Was it at least better this time?
Well, okay. It was a better conversation, but here's why I didn't like it. She said that her biggest insecurity is being chosen, and she thinks it's from her dad wanting a boy, and she has an older sister, but she was kind of the tomboy, so she felt like her dad chose the older sister over her. And
shitty thing for the dad to do, by the way. Just did his daughters even know that what he wanted was a son?
Yeah. It is a shitty thing to do, but
maybe that's what he should have said to him. But the gravesite.
He's been gone 44 years. She's had 44 years to
go. Uh-oh, did you just freeze? I think he has frozen. There's a lot going on here with Rhonda, right? Yeah, exactly, materialistic. Terrell, no, he'll be back in a second. As soon as he comes back in, we'll pick him back up. Sumter B says a bit, he wishes he is back in his mama's basement. I would have grabbed my five things Rhonda allowed him to have and gone back to mama. Indeed, because you know what? This is bad. This is really bad. That's what's going on. I don't think she's taken any accountability. Everything she's done has been an excuse. Yes, High Vibe. He was making a good point. It was a good point. And it wasn't that. You know what? Rhonda probably cut him off. That's what happened. That's exactly what happened. Next up, we had Brittany and Will, and they were meeting Dr. Pia and Pastor Cal, and a whole lot going on here with these two as well, right? Because let's see. There we go. He's back. We're on. You know, you were making a great point that everybody wanted to hear, Terrell. But I know as you froze, you probably forgot. Yeah. Raven's girl said the Terrell take an ice bath. Not yet. It's coming.
I don't know what happened with that. That was crazy. Back. Like my Wi-Fi, everything just went out.
Yeah. It's probably AT&T. That's why it does it all the time. I thought it was mine for a second. That's why I choose Xfinity. Anyway, let me stop before they cut mine off. Because AT&T is bad like that. Brittany and Will are sitting down with Dr. Pia and Pastor Cal. And Pastor Cal says, everything okay? Will says, yeah. But Brittany had something else to say.
Yeah. He asks if they're, Pastor Cal asks if they're having any issues, and Will says no, and then Brittany says, well, I don't know, and her issue is that she doesn't know where Will stands 100%. In other words, is he in this? Is he going to say yes on decision day? And Will says, well, you ask me every day if I'm going to say yes on decision day.
Bad. Bad.
Yeah, and Dr. Pia even asks him, hey, Will, so are you sure where you stand? And he said, I can tell you I feel how I feel today, but I can't say what will happen a few weeks from now.
What's bad is that Dr. Pia tries to talk some sense in him and ask a question. He goes, well, I can just reiterate what I just said.
Right.
for your simple ass, let me just tell you. He obviously has never watched past seasons. Remember when Dr. Pia had to snatch somebody up?
Mm-hmm.
Because when the men think they can talk crazy to her is when we get to see her show her claws, right?
Right.
But other than that, she's been really nice since then. They must have had to talk to her like, hey, you can't emasculate the men on the show like this because nobody else is going to want to come on. Because she hasn't snatched anybody else up since then. They ask about the living arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
Why was this so hard? And why was it so harsh in what Will said?
It was the way he said it, right? So Pastor Cal asked them, have y'all been talking about future planning? Then that would probably be an indicator if he's going to be in. And he says, well, where are y'all going to live? And she says, Will, where are we going to live? And he says, well, yeah, I could move into your house, but I'm still going to keep my apartment.
No, the way he said that, I'm definitely going to keep my apartment.
I'm definitely going to keep my apartment. And I'm just thinking, okay, now here's the deal. You've heard me say, I don't want to have to live with somebody. You know, I have my house, they have their house. If Will had his own house and he has equity, okay, right. That makes sense. Keep your house.
Mm-hmm.
But you're in an apartment. Why would you keep paying rent? And you can move into her house. And I know the reason why is because he is going to say no. He's not interested.
Right. Lucy B agrees. She says Will is riding this out so he won't get fined.
Yeah.
D. Michelle says it's the way he says everything. Yes, because when they ask him, okay, wait a minute, why would you say that? I mean, why would you do that? Because they're pointing it out. And I like the fact that they at least are pointing things out that he's doing in real time. so that he has an idea of what he's saying and tell him what he's saying and why it's wrong. And he's like, oh, well, I'll just sign a new lease. And then he has these other excuses, right? His apartment is 7 minutes from the airport. And you know, I travel all the time. So what, you just going to leave and sleep there the day before you're supposed to leave just to save, just because you're 7 minutes away? No. And then he says it's closer to downtown. So if they go out, they can have another place to go. Come on, man.
Right. It makes no sense at all. But again, it's because he's not really into her.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only answer I can come up with. He's just not feeling it. And Brittany needs to like see these signs and realize.
Yeah.
Prepare yourself that he's going to say no.
And that's what everybody's saying, because Raven's girl, Monica, one of the regulars, says Will already knows he's definitely going back home. Regular Sly A says because Will doesn't intend to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Monique, we're gonna get back to that. We'll let him finish his thought on that, because I know he's got to recollect it again.
I have it. I know exactly what I said at this point when she asked that question. I know exactly what I said.
Well, before we get to that, Brittany's family. Let's finish with Will and Brittany real quick, and we'll get back to Miss Rhonda before we get on to Derek and Megan, because definitely want to make sure we get to that. They go to see Brittany's family.
Mm-hmm.
Good visit?
I mean, it was. Her family seems fun,
mm-hmm.
right? I like that they can just have these games. They just seem just silly. Like, it's a cool vibe mm-hmm. in the house. So I thought that was cool. The part that got weird to me is when they got a little too excited to watch her kiss Will.
That was awkward as hell and yeah. cringe as hell.
That was just weird.
I never seen you kiss nobody before. Hey, look, come here. Do it again.
They in here kissing. Everybody, come in. They in here kissing.
Will said, wait till you see what I do after. First comes the kiss, then comes a... yeah. All right. Let's get back to Rhonda real quick, man, because you were making a great point about this being 44 years since her dad had passed.
Right. So I was saying that she's had 44 years since her dad's passed to go through therapy and process all these things that she's been feeling. You still, mm-hmm. you can't be holding on to this. You didn't feel chosen by your dad for 44 years. Mm-hmm. Go talk to somebody. Get that worked out. It can happen.
You know, that's probably the only person Rhonda can have a conversation with, a therapist, because they don't really speak. They just ask you more questions and let you speak all that you want.
Let her run her damn mouth.
That's where Rhonda would be happy. Rhonda would be very happy sitting in the therapist chair, because they would just sit there and listen,
mm-hmm.
listen, and she can talk. The same thing she tried to call Pat out for the first time.
Right.
Last couple on here. Derek and Megan.
Mm-hmm.
We're ending where we started. Because Megan decides to take Derek for a cold plunge. And with all the stuff she talked about doing cold plunges, why was she the one screaming like a biah?
Well, she said when the cold water hits your vag, that's when it gets big. And I'm like, I get it.
Oh, you do? You
know, I get it. Hey, when the cold water hits, you know, my parts, it's like, oh, this mm-hmm. this hits different. But I think these cold plunges, I couldn't do the cold plunges. I'm not a fan. I've done cryotherapy. That's fine. But I'm not getting in cold water. And so to me, this would have to be one of those, hey, babe, that's your thing. And you're passionate about that. You go do that.
But he did it before the wedding.
I know. I wouldn't have. I'd have been like, yeah, you gave me that. I gave that to one of my boys. I ain't doing that. Sorry.
Well, he actually did it, right? CXM said that she didn't lay all the way down like Derek did. Did you notice that?
Well, yeah, but she was in it long, and she was in it for 4.5 minutes. Derek was only in there for 2.5 minutes.
Just because she's competitive. We saw her when they were playing ping pong, and she's a terrible loser. I would never play anything with her.
Right.
Because I can't beat you? Stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah. El Cid says, my husband does cold plunges. I do not.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. Raven's Girl Monica asked the question, what is the purpose of it? What, seriously, what is the purpose of the cold plunge besides athletes when they're training,
yeah,
and recovery, right? But they're training, right?
But it does a lot for recovery. It does a lot for inflammation in any of your joints and all that. And this is, I get this from the cryo part. And then also it kind of helps with weight loss because your external temperature drops.
Because the fat runs away.
Get your me out external of here. Your external temperature drops. So the amount of energy your body burns to bring your temperature back up to 98.6, mm-hmm, is it's good for fat loss. Mm-hmm. So I get it, but the inflammation part, I know it helps with that. I think that is phenomenal, especially those of us that are getting older. We got those knees, them ankles, those little things. It helps.
Sinan's fan says, so does heat, right?
Well, not really, because you think about if you hurt your ankle or sprain your ankle, what do they tell you put on it? Ice.
Icy hot.
Yeah, you put ice on it. When you hurt yourself, you put ice on it. And yeah, so I think that helps. Heat, I don't know if that helps with inflammation, at least not that I know of.
Assumpt to be says, Will would have survived for eternity in that cold plunge, given how cold he naturally is. High Vibe has done it. She says she did it when she played volleyball for shin splints.
Yeah, that was the time I did it. When I ran track, I get shin splints and have to sit in that cold water. Ugh, hated it.
Raven's Girl Monica says, I'm about to jump in a cold tub tonight. Hey, look, let me tell you something. I don't even do cold showers. I don't care if it's 100 degrees outside. I'm turning that hot water all the way on. I'm just saying. That's what I do. me and Cole have an understanding. We avoid each other, like me and vegetables.
Yeah.
The experts visit Derek and Megan. Mm-hmm. Dr. Pia and Pastor Cal. And do you like the fact that they're teaming up to go do these visits, first of all?
I do, but I'm still wondering where Dr. Pepper is.
Still living separately from my husband. what'd you think from their visit? Because apparently Derek has said those magic words.
Yeah, he finally said that he loved her. And it seemed like, if you think about the last visit they had when it was just Dr. Pia, mm-hmm, it is a night and day different Derek and Megan. Mm-hmm. And so I thought this was nice. I think Pastor Cal and Dr. P are really proud of just the work that they're doing, but they seem that they are in a much better place than when Dr. Pia met with them.
Yeah. Sly Ace says, Dr. Pepper knows these marriages are doomed. He said, get me out of here. The next time we see them, I'd like for you to say it. Go ahead.
That Megan is the one that's pregnant?
No, tell me I'm right, because I told you this.
Yes, you were right. Here's what I said. I didn't say you were wrong. I said, I don't want to say I believe it until I hear them say it, because they always tease something. Yeah. So, that,
which is a good point. A very good point. But right, in the very beginning, before the season even started, just the teaser, I thought it was her already.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because of the sound of the voice, that's why I thought that. But yeah, do you like the way they did this? They told us, they told the crew, obviously, and it seems, and as we get into the next episode when they're going to be around other people, are they revealing this now or are they holding this? And when is everybody finding out now like they did with Sparkle Megan on Love is Blind?
Yeah, I think they're going to hold on to it. For a bit, because plus I think like when you first and chat, keep me honest here, but you normally don't announce to the world just because you tested positive,
right?
Because anything could happen. Is it normally until what, 3 months? Is that when you want to start telling everybody?
I forget the exact time because we weren't even going to tell anybody with ours. I mean, family knew that was it.
Yeah, so I mean, something you don't really, you're not going to go around telling everybody just because you tested positive twice. So, you know.
I do notice this here because I saw this earlier. Let's see, where was it? Sinan's fans. I questioned the timeline of this pregnancy. When did she get pregnant? The first night? I got questions.
It could have been on the honeymoon. You know, they did have sex on the honeymoon. So
she likes a tweet, says at this point they've only been together a month. Is it possible the baby is not his? I mean, it's possible. However,
anything is possible.
Raven's girl Monica says end of the first trimester is when you usually tell people.
Okay.
Marjan said same thing after the first trimester. Yep. 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elson says in this day and age, don't tell early. Yeah. Don't tell till you're certain, for real, that it's yours, right, too. after the baby's born, maybe? No. I feel for Derek in this moment because we already felt if and when y'all have kids, you're going to have a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
We're about to see him go through. We've seen him in the first month with her.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't pregnant. Well, she didn't know she was pregnant then.
Mm-hmm.
Hormones hadn't started kicking in and doing backflips, right?
Right.
What's the rest of the season going to look like?
I'm expecting to see some interesting mood swings.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that, you know. And here's what's really interesting, because I think I truly felt that Derek was kind of on the fence with this relationship.
Right.
And now it's like, well, I got to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't say no on decision day and you're still going to have my baby. Like, I have to figure out a way to make this work. So I think he's in a kind of stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I can see where that is, because now you almost feel like it has to work, right?
Right.
But two... Lil Leah's point, she said she wasn't having sex though. So according to Megan, it had to be just Derek.
Right? How many people say they haven't been having sex and they're still having sex? Come on now.
I've never done this before.
Yeah. I don't normally do this.
But I'm a champ. and Materialistic said hitting it raw in this situation is insanity.
Why?
They are married.
They're married.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but they're married. And I'm sure they've been tested. I'm sure they had STD tests done. I mean, I get it. I don't know that I would, but I feel what you're saying.
Yeah, they're married. How many other dudes have hit raw that she wasn't married to? Well, this person married you sight unseen.
Yeah. She says still a stranger.
Okay, but it's a married stranger. So.
Yeah. now, Materialistic, here's where I'm going to have to separate from you on this. You can say you want to be tied to a stranger for life. Yeah, they said I do. and like Elson said before we get out of here, Alexa, play Ooh Baby I Like It Raw by ODB.
Shimmy, shimmy, y'all. Shimmy, yam, shimmy, yay.
Oh, man. Episode 10, there's going to be an outing. There's some pranks. It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah.
Somewhat so. And, of course, some more drama. You know, there's always going to be some, right?
Of course.
So we'll do that one tomorrow, right?
Yes, sir.
And then Ready to Love Detroit has started. Detroit, as it's often said in the sophisticated circles. When we tell you what, we'll pick the day that we're going to do it. We'll let you know tomorrow. In the meantime, whether you're here now as part of the live crew or watching this later as part of the replay gang, do us a favor. Hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications.
Shouts.
Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at the RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit from the internet. We may talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.
We've been running this banter since way back in school, where the dorm room debates turn the cool in the rules. Talking loud about the world like we're changing the game, but it's just us two, yeah. Two sides of the same. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the will to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. Sports got us heated, yeah, the refs missed the calls. Politics, man, we'll argue till the walls fall. Pop culture don't get us started on trends, but the laughter, my dude, that's where it all ends. You say tomato, I say nah, bro, it's time motto. You think we clashing? Nah, it's the dance of up a chair.
Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the word to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the word to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. When the convo's done and the bottle runs dry, we'll toast to the clash, to the lows and the highs. Two voices, one friendship, no need to compare. So come as you are and pull up a chair.